Much of the Texas Gulf Coast is undeveloped, like here along Pelican Island at the mouth of Galveston Bay. There are vast stretches of shoreline and wetlands that you might be tempted to think have looked like this for centuries. But they haven't. They're changing. And a researcher named Anna Armitage wanted to show us how much. But first, we had to find her. Armitage teaches marine biology at Texas A&M, which has a campus here on Pelican Island. On this particular morning, she was taking her class to a marsh. And with the help of a cell phone.
This is a kind of wetland called a salt marsh.
We found them.
I was just wondering if that was eggs.
When she's not teaching, Armitage has been working with a team of other A&M scientists. They're looking at the kinds of vegetation growing in the wetlands along the Texas coast. By using satellite photos from years ago, they're finding that things are changing. What stands out comparing old photos versus new ones is what's standing up.
So you can see how these mangroves are starting to spread into this marsh here.
Mangroves. They're trees and shrubs that grow in salt water. Some that Armitage showed us here are 10 feet tall.
Even though they're not huge, they're still much taller than all the marsh vegetation, so they outcompete the marsh vegetation.
The mangroves are replacing the marsh grasses, and they're multiplying fast.
Yeah, so across the whole Texas coast, we've seen a 70% increase in mangrove area.
And in a relatively short time, I guess.
Over the last 20 years.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
We don't have a good answer for that question yet.
To learn more, we headed to A&M's Island campus and found lead researcher Patrick Luchuan. His suspicion is that fewer hard freezes have allowed the mangroves to grow where otherwise they wouldn't. A sign of climate change?
We don't know for sure because it's always very difficult to pinpoint one particular change.
The mangrove discovery has come as Luchuan's research team is doing a broader study. Its goal is to see how land development and changes in coastal vegetation are affecting how much carbon dioxide is being absorbed by coastal wetlands. Fewer wetlands could mean less is absorbed from the atmosphere. That's important to know because an overabundance globally of carbon dioxide is linked to climate change. Another one of the researchers, Samuel Brody, likens wetlands to banks.
Wetlands are like banks where we can safely deposit and invest in our carbon future.
Brody is an urban planner. He says Texas is a particular concern because while much of its coastline is still undeveloped, surges in the state's population, as well as in oil and gas refining, will likely change that.
The coast is poised for the development. This is one issue that we need to look at. If we're going to develop the coast and reap the financial benefit, are we sacrificing other more important benefits?
Development in wetlands is subject to federal regulations. Some states have their own comprehensive restrictions.
Texas is not one of those states right now.
Wesley Highfield is another member of the research team. He says what they're learning could help Texas policymakers determine the value of wetlands. And what they're learning can be surprising. For example, those mangroves that Anna Armitage showed us. She says mangroves may actually be better at absorbing carbon dioxide than the marsh grasses they're displacing.
That's correct. It could even be a benefit.
For State Impact Texas, I'm Dave Failing.